welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Let me tell you, there is a word of grace for you this morning. Can I just say, I'm going to speak this morning from Luke chapter 19. So if you're online this morning or if you're in here, you might want to get your Bibles ready because we're going to get stuck into the word today because whatever's going on in the world today, it is hard to believe that we're back, but whatever's going on in the world today, let me tell you something, the word of God never changes. And his grace never changes, and his love never changes. I'm going to talk about that. But I need you to understand this morning that what's going to happen is we're going to have the word that I'm going to bring this morning is going to be twofold. It's about you and where you're at today. It's about what's going on in your life. So if you need some encouragement and some hope this morning, then you're in a good place because you're going to receive it. But also what I want you to do at the same time is to say, Lord, this is not just about me this morning. This is not just about me and what I need, but I need to see what you have for me and where you've placed me for such a time as this. Because one of the things that's been interesting over lockdown, and there's lots of data, okay, and lots of things coming out already to show this, is that lockdown has made people more selfish. Isn't that amazing? And I don't think the church is exempt from that. One of the things about lockdown and being isolated is we've spent more time with a tighter group of people and less time wider. And I even see it in the church. You know, there've been people who I know who just go, well, do you know what? I've kind of gone into the way of just having a wee bit of toast on a Sunday and then maybe walking the dog. And then, do you know what? We'll have a wee lie in and maybe about dinner time, think about getting up to put something on, you know? And and so the whole thought of church, I mean, like, honestly, I mean, I don't really know whether I could be bothered, you know? And to which point I want to, you know, kind of give them a headbutt in Jesus' name and say, listen, since when did the world revolve around you? But it's interesting that, and you know, you might even be thinking this morning, oh, normally at this time I would be watching Creflo. Well, let me tell you, you can watch Creflo this afternoon, all right? And or whoever who's on the Sunday morning, Josh McCauley. Josh is actually in Ireland, by the way. And so he's going to be hopefully with us in a few weeks. But I need your heart to be open for two things this morning, Lord. I want to receive for myself. And when the Lord, anytime you're in the presence of the Lord, you never walk away empty-handed if your heart is open and you want to receive. Because he's good to you this morning. Can I just say before we get to the word, he loves you this morning. He's not angry with you this morning. He is in no way upset with you this morning. When he looks at you, the only thing he sees is the good finished work of Jesus given to you as a gift. Do I get an amen for that this morning? And so that's good news for you. And in these strange times that we're looking in, you know, and that we're living in and we're moving into, because this is kind of normal now. Forget whatever you had in your head before the pandemic, whatever, just forget that because we're entering into a new world and some things have changed forever. I mean, church will be different moving forward. We're going to have to figure that one out because, quite frankly, if anyone says they've got it worked out, they're telling porkies. We're going to figure that out, what that looks like. And there's, you know, how we work, how we socialize, how we meet all look very different. And there's a lot of ambiguity about the future. And one of the things about as human beings is we don't like that which is ambiguous. We kind of like to know, don't we? You know, even if it's bad news, we kind of like to know bad news, but if we don't know what something is, ambiguity, it could be one thing or the other, we tend not to do very well as human beings with that. But so what we have today is we have the world is changing massively, quickly, rapidly, and has changed, but there are some things, and this is why I love church, because let me tell you something, Jesus was not taken by surprise by a pandemic. Do you get that? He is not behind the curve with what is going on in your world or in the world. He is the same, Hebrews 13:8 says, yesterday, today, and forever. And so the same good, loving, faithful, powerful, consistent, I'm preaching to myself this morning, if the same powerful, good, loving, consistent God, somebody give me an amen in here and say yes, the one who loves me, heals me, protects me, provides for me, blesses me, and favors me, he is the same Jesus right now that he was in March 20, whatever it was. Amen? So some things don't change. He doesn't change. His character and his love and his grace. And so, you know, one of the things that doesn't change as well is that he has a heart for the church and he has a heart for people to connect with him through his church. Do you understand that? That didn't change with pandemic. In fact, I actually think it's one of the biggest things that the enemy will do on the church is to tell Christians that the church doesn't matter. That what we do here this morning doesn't matter. It does. Because Jesus loves his church. When we talk about grace, where do you think Jesus wants people to find grace? He wants to find them to find grace in the family of God. Because we're different to the world. We've been set apart from the world to be a place where men, women, and children can encounter his unmerited favor and goodness and have their lives changed forever. So whatever people might think or whatever people might be doing this morning, let me just really encourage you this morning. You're in the best place, okay, to receive this morning whatever you're going to do in these next few weeks. You know, we want to be more like Jesus, isn't that right? Oh, Lord, make me more like you and all that stuff, right? Well, do you know Luke 2:49? You probably know this story very well, but in Luke chapter 2, Jesus, his parents misplace him is probably the best way to put it, and they kind of go, flip, what have we done with him? Hands up if you'd like to misplace your kids at any particular time. I kind of wonder, was he just like winding them up at that stage, and you let's clear off and leave him, you know, but whatever was happening, when they finally catch up with him, and they go, what were you up to? And he goes, I was about my father's business. Like, hello, is kind of what he's saying. Yeah, and, you know, the father's business hasn't changed. Let me tell you something. He loves you. But if you're saved and in the meeting today, you're going to receive grace upon grace for your life. You're going to receive hope and healing. It's not good. But there's a world out there that doesn't know grace, that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know his goodness, doesn't know his love. And today, as we sit here, Jesus is about his father's business. And his father's business didn't stop whenever you got saved and came into the meeting, right? To use that great Northern Ireland expression. And in fact, you'll find more grace in your life. You'll find more a depth to his grace and his love in your life whenever we actually discover not just grace for us, but grace for the other. So there's going to be a theme of that as we get into, because one thing is I've seen in our business over pandemic, not just church, increasing loneliness, isolation, people more worried and fearful and anxious, people retreating, thinking that they're going to keel over, if they happen to talk to somebody in a shop. You know, I've actually quite enjoyed it. One of the things I discovered about myself in lockdown, right, was that I'm actually way more introverted. Hands up all the introverts, right? Colin. Right. I have discovered that I'm way more introverted than what I thought I was, and I love it. So see the whole putting a mask on so you don't have to talk to people? See, if I could put a mask on in here this morning, I'd probably get away with it. Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, who's that boy? Don't know, never spoken to him before. All right, but I would probably love to do that. But one of the things is, you know, I think for me, whatever, notwithstanding any of that stuff, I think we're in a time of realignment again to what is unchanging, to the purpose of God, for your life, for the other. And in a world that's changing rapidly, I actually believe more now than probably ever, people need to know a God who loves them, will protect them, will heal them, will take away their fear and anxiety and worry about their futures, will bring them to a place where they can know above all things that in a world that doesn't know whether it's stuffed or mounted today, Jesus is a rock. And if you put your life in trust into him, then you'll not be shaken. You'll not be shaken. That's the truth. Isn't that good news this morning? And so that's what we're going to talk about, because this church is about being transformed by grace. Not being transformed by performance, not being transformed by trying hard, not being transformed by adhering to principles per se, but about being transformed by looking at the grace of Jesus. And in that moment, all that he is given to you, all that he has done is yours as a gift, not by your hard work, but because he loves you. And in a world which is trying it harder, trying to figure it out, trying to, you know, goodness me, people are tired. You know, one of the interesting things in our business we're looking at is people are busier today than what they've ever been. You know, all this online stuff, virtual stuff. Yeah, one thing after the next. But it's masking an epidemic of exhaustion. That's what businesses are saying. Our people are more tired today than they were 2 years ago. They're exhausted. And I'm going, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you peace. Come to me and I'll lift that from you and show you that your days are certain and your future is secure. Amen? So we want to see lives transformed by grace. But I'm going to encourage you this morning, because one of the things that, you know, I had times through lockdown where I went, what is this church about again? I mean, is that shocking, to be honest? What do you think, Penny? Penny and I were going, why do we do this? What remind me again, Lord, you know, of what really matters. When we go to the Word, Isaiah 40 verse 8 says this, that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever. And I am convinced that when you walked into here this morning, or if you're watching online, and that you're in the safest place that you could ever be. Because in a world that changes, there is safety and protection to be found when you place yourself and your family in the family of God. There's a safety and a protection for you. And everything else might pass away, but the word of God and the grace of God lasts forever. Amen. And so I believe this morning that in this place, that the Lord's going to speak to you as I get into the word very quickly. The Lord's going to speak to you, but also let your heart grow, okay? Don't just sit here and go, oh, it's just about me. And I got a wee bless me up and that'll do me till next Sunday. That's not who we are, all right? That's not who we are. Grace doesn't do that. Grace doesn't just get you through. Grace causes you to live up, over, and above as an overcomer. Some of you anyway. Some of you aren't so sure. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room that they would get saved at some point this morning. That would be super helpful. Let me just round up this bit in Ephesians 1. It says, all of this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So this is a great time this morning to realign. That's what I'm saying. Because in God's heart this morning, do you want to know what God's heart this morning is as he sits and he looks at you? Is that you would receive, but also as in your receiving, you would flow and that you would be someone who is a channel of his grace. In this world that we live in, a channel of his grace. And the upside downness of that is, you know, the world will say, look after yourself and all that you need. But actually, the truth of it is in the kingdom of God, the more you give your life away and the more you share, you are filled to overflowing. The world doesn't understand that. It only understands me, 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 me. And what I want us to see in this new season is actually the grace of God is so big and expansive and wide that actually you don't need to worry about yourself because he's already, you know, everything you need, he's provided for. He's already gone into your days to open the door to blessing and to wholeness for you. And he just says, don't worry about yourself. I've got you covered. Now give away whatever I've poured into your life and let's see more men, women, and children restored by his grace. Amen? Does that sound okay? Or do you just want me to preach a message that blesses the life out of you? Or bless me up. Let's do both, okay? So let's turn to Luke chapter 19, because what we're going to see here, we're going to read from Luke 19 this morning, verses 1 to 6. And like I said, it's twofold. You're going to be encouraged about you and where you're at and your loved ones, but also we want to see that we're part of something bigger, all right? And we want to see that your life matters. I also want you to see why, like exchange or redemption and other churches, after 18 months of hiatus, and I know in Holland this morning, they're starting to get their services back up and running. Not sure about South Africa yet, but you know, as we start after this 18-month hiatus, we need to understand that from the Word, right, and what God has revealed about himself in the Word is a message that doesn't change. We are not coming back to something we're coming back to the heart of the gospel, right, found it in the people of God. Because I just have this feeling that over, you know, in some of us, we just need to, it's this thing of alignment again, to go, you know, we've been over here, we've been over there, we've been a bit to and fro, but, you know, we need to align again with Jesus at the center. That's why we talk about Jesus being, you know, not peripheral. When you talk about the church, you can talk about Jesus and his family. It's not peripheral to what you do. It should be at the center of what you do. Now, everyone talks about balance, don't they? I remember telling the story of a woman who I met in Tesco, and you just love it when you lead a church, when you meet people in public, particularly if they don't go to your church, because they've always got something to say about it. And Christians have more to say than most people, don't they? I mean, they tend to think that they have an opinion and it matters. And that most importantly, when you lead a church, most people think that you're interested in their opinions. Let me into some. No, we're not, all right? I can put on the best, oh, bless your face, that you want, but half the time I'm not listening, and that is the truth. Okay? Anyway, I'm just telling you that to be honest, all right? And so I remember this woman saying, oh, you preach the grace thing, don't you? What you need is a bit of balance. And now, she didn't actually say that to me. What she said was, they're dead sneaky. They go, here, have you ever listened to Pastor such and such? I go, no. Well, he's great. He loves grace. But you know what? He just got it all in good balance. And you go, oh, boom, there you go, got me. And so you should really listen to him. And I said, I don't really have time to listen to him. And, you know, but she was adamant. She was like, no, I'll give me your email address now, but I can't remember it. Have you got a mobile? No, I lost it. There's just no way. There was no way this woman was getting in touch with me to fill my life full of whatever. Anyway, so the point is, we you know, even when we come back to church, I think that you need to be confident that there is no other gospel than the grace of Jesus. There's nothing else. I'm going to show you from the Word today what I believe we're called to as a church. You know, because most people I chat to, whether they're church leaders, punters, struggling, they struggle, you know, to accept that there is nothing other than the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of Jesus that will do anything in your life. It will break the deepest bondage. It will remove the highest amount of shame from your life. It will give you the deepest sense of purpose and peace in your life that you plus Jesus will never do. But we struggle with it. We kind of go, seriously, we're like, you know, we look at, you know, Jesus standing in front of the tomb, you know, and he says, come out, you know, come out of the grave, Lazarus. And we kind of go, we look at this and we go, it's not enough. You know, people around going, you know, he's been dead for 4 days. Like we say to God, it's amazing at times, you know, we don't think your grace is enough, so we'll add some of ourselves into it. And Jesus is standing looking at death and the law and goes, with one word, remember, Lazarus, come out. Because if he just said, come out, they all would have come out. All right? Every dead person for miles around. So he had to be specific. Because if we just say, dead people come up, they're all coming up. And it'll scare the absolute life out of you. So Lazarus, you alone, get up out of that grave. All right? And so this morning, when we look at this story of Zacchaeus, he was a horrible wee man, as we would say in Belfast. But he was just a horrible... You know the way you got, like, not dirty or smelly, but horrible? You know the way we're called the lost... We're called to love the lost. Like, you can love dirty, smelly people. But see horrible wee people. Do you know what I mean? Do you know any of those? Certainly not in this church. We're all saints, aren't we? Look at that. I know loads of horrible wee people. I'm going to be dead honest with you. But I need to go fast. So I was reading about this man, Zacchaeus. His story is simultaneously simple and profoundly challenging. It's a beautiful picture for people who go, grace alone in these days? Are you mad? Well, you need to, you know, just be careful. Like, don't go to that edge. You need to come back a wee bit. You don't find that in the ministry of Jesus ever. It was always about him. It was always about his love. It was always about his unmerited favor. And there is no other message. None at all. So let me just tell you, shall we read Luke 19? Actually, and when they saw it, let's go, can we go back there to the first bit? And Luke 19. When they saw the old grumble, if I made a mess of those things, he's gone to be in the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, half my goods I give to the poor. So basically what happens, I've made a mess of the slides. What happens is Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Let me just explain this to you. He's a wee creep, right? His sins were public. His sins were premeditated. He ripped people off. You know, they used to talk about sinners and tax collectors. That's how bad he was. And what he does, he was a Jew, and he was employed by a foreign occupying power. So, you know, it was like the Romans didn't like him, and his own people didn't like him. This guy had sold himself out. And he'd be the kind of guy who would sit beside you and pick your pocket and look you in the eye as he did it, right? That's what he was like. And more than that, so what these tax collectors used to do is they were employed by the Romans. They would... basically sit in booths, and people have to come and pay their taxes, and they would just add a good bit on. So they were absolutely minted and loaded, but they were making it off the backs of people who were already downbeaten and broken and trodden upon by a foreign power, and they were ripping them off, and they were their own people. Can you imagine? I mean, imagine going to pay your money, and this guy's dressed in the finest, and there he is actually just, and you know fine rightly, as he looks at you and marks the book, that he has just ripped off you and your children and your family, and you're working hard, you're putting the hours in, you're just trying to make ends meet, because it was tough in those days, there was no social security, and here you have somebody just literally with their hand right in. And more than that, he was the chief of them. So what that meant was all the tax collectors around, Zacchaeus was the top dog. So not only did he rip the people off, he ripped off the other tax collectors. Like, seriously, what a wee scumbag, right? And what was happening is here, you know, that's why people would have said the sinners and the tax collector. And then you've got the chief tax collector. I mean, seriously, he's the kind of guy, he would have walked down the street without the protection of the Roman guards. They would have spat on him and jeered him. So he was so detested. Now, here's the thing. I don't think it bothered him that much. So he's a hateful wee character, but it didn't bother him that much. Why? Because he kept doing it. He's like this. You remember Fagin in Oliver Twist? Remember that kind of sort of, you know, that sort of character. But what we see in him, he's also lonely. He's despised and he doesn't belong anywhere. Now, I think we need to be careful here at the beginning not to be too quick to judge and not to be too quick to think that we're better, because all you see in Zacchaeus' life is the product of brokenness. That's all that's going on there. The manifestation of brokenness in your life may look different, but we're not to judge Zacchaeus and go, horrible wee man. I'm calling that just to get your attention. Because whenever we're broken, it comes out in our lives. And we're all broken. That's what the Lord says. That's why we need Jesus. If we weren't broken, we wouldn't need Jesus in the first place, right? I mean, if you don't believe that, that's called universalism. What's the point? We're all good people and we're all going to heaven anyway. No, we don't believe that. That's not grace. We need Jesus. We need a rescuer and a savior. And so what happens is we're all broken. In a world with broken people, what do we need? Well, let me just show you what the Lord's going to show you. A world full of broken people, a world full of people who are tired, who just feel like they're not getting it. They need grace. And what Jesus is going to do is he's going to start with Zacchaeus, who is the scumball in chief that people don't like. And he's going to show in an instant what he can do in your life, but what he wants to do in the lives of people in this city and beyond. Because the story's incredible. The people would have shunned him. I think he probably had wee man syndrome. Do you know wee man syndrome? Where they walk around like they have two TVs under their arms. You're like that, right mate, right mate. And if you're watching online, you don't understand, whatever. I'm preaching to the room, not to the... but you know that sort of, I'm going to knock your melt in when they're this height and they're... You might be thinking, I've got wee man syndrome, but do you know what I said to the kids recently? Sophie came home from school and she said, Daddy, how tall are you? They were doing heights in school. And I said, 6'2". And she went, great, thanks very much. And Penny nearly went. I said, go and tell your teacher, your daddy's 6'2", 17 stone muscle. And she wrote it down. She, you know what? That's trust. She didn't even blat an eyelid. And I went, you Lord. So anyway, so you have this horrible wee man with a wee man syndrome who's despised and hated by everybody, and just really see what happens when he encounters Jesus. Because we know the story here, but, you know, that he doesn't... Here's what's really interesting. If you're thinking today about does Jesus love you and care for you, in this story, Zacchaeus, we know that he climbs a tree to get a better view, but that's all he does, right? Jesus takes the initiative here because there is a massive crowd. Remember the old-style prophetic meetings when you wanted to get noticed? Oh, come on, any of you old recovering charismatics out there? You know, you'd have the traveling prophets who would come through town. So you would come to a meeting and you wanted to be picked out for a wee word. So what would happen is you'd wear like a bright orange t-shirt with pick me on it, basically, you know, or a hat, you know, or you would worship the loudest and jump the most. And then the prophet would go, oh, yes, it's you. Well, I used to do that and never got picked any time. I used to come away from every meeting not even believing that I was saved, for goodness sake. But he doesn't do that. Zacchaeus is just, he's actually back. The tree would have been away. There's a huge crowd in front of him. And what happens is, geez, he didn't try to manipulate, okay, but there was something going on in him, okay? It didn't look like it from the outside. I want you to think about the people in your world today. See, we look at people the wrong way. Jesus described people as spiritually sick. He says, that's why I've come. You see, on the outside, most people in today's world, they kind of go, well, we kind of look and we make a judgment. We go, it's okay. That's not the view that Jesus had. And that's why he takes initiative to bring people close to him. And some of us need a realignment. We don't judge people according to the world. But what does the Lord say about them? Because when he's looking at Zacchaeus, he makes the initiative. You know, we probably would have judged that that horrible wee man would not have been interested in a moment of grace, but there was something in him. And no matter how small it was, Jesus noticed. And so Jesus looks at him. You know, Zacchaeus, now look at me, all the legalists. He doesn't pray. He doesn't repent. He doesn't say anything at the beginning. Now, we want people to do that, don't we? We want people to come and throw themselves down and say, oh, I am so wrong, I got it all wrong. That's not what happens with Zacchaeus. Jesus takes the initiative and goes towards him. He sees him just like he sees you. He calls him just like he calls you. He looks for him because he knows him. And that's what happens. Now, I've got to keep that thing about him not repenting straight away at the top of your head, because, you know, think about what it would have been like for the crowds then. You know, seriously, now some of us will sit and think, you're looking past me to go to that wee man. Here I am in the crowd. Notice me, Lord. Notice me. and you're looking past me? Have you ignored me? I can imagine, in fact, we're told later on that they grumble, so many of them were not happy. But do you know, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't care for what the crowd thinks. I just encourage you with that this morning. See whatever the crowd thinks around you. Jesus doesn't care. He's not moved by the crowd in terms of their ups and downness. He's only moved by compassion when he sees people. Read it in the Word. The only thing that moves him is compassion. And he's deeply compassionate over you and yours today. Deeply compassionate. And that moves him. But he's not moved by their opinions on anything. Why? Because he's about his Father's business, Luke 2. And he's just going to show this whole crowd what grace really looks like. He's going to show this whole crowd why he really came. You know, and that they, you know, because this mission that he has is about his Father's business of grace. I love Zach's response, Zacchaeus' response in verse 6. You know, when Jesus calls him down, says, hey, we're going to have something to eat in your place, right? And the crowd go, what? Him? Why's up? But what does Zacchaeus do? He says he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Listen to me, there's a wee moment of grace here. How long had it been since Zacchaeus had seen a visitor? He had sacrificed everything for personal gain, money, advancement. But look what happens when a broken, selfish life collides with the God of grace. In verse 8, we hear Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, I give half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded, nice one, Zacchaeus, anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. Now, listen to me. Where is Jesus' starting point for you today? Where's the starting point for people who don't know him yet? It's not condemnation. It's not judgment. Now, at the same time, he also doesn't excuse Zacchaeus' sin and say that it's okay. This is not lawlessness we're talking about here. What's happening here, and I think this is beautiful, there's something in the heart of Zacchaeus which is drawing him to something more than himself. Do you get that? That's in the heart of every one of us and in the heart of everyone that you know. Whatever you see on the outside, Jesus is not moved by it because he knows what's in a man's heart. So you have this moment of this internal drawing, right? And what happens, it collides in this moment with grace, and the result is complete transformation. People today, maybe even in this room or watching online, who are already dealing with enough fear, enough isolation, the weight of worry for the future. You might be anxious about your kids, job stuff, and maybe a lack of real meaning, a lack of real purpose, right? What Jesus understands is Zacchaeus, despite his mess, didn't need any more burdens. He needed the one who would lift the burden away. And that's why we show and we teach and we live in the gospel of God's grace. Because Jesus' starting point for you this morning, let's align with this truth again. He's not judging you. He's not condemning you. He's not pointing out your faults, although we all have many. He's looking at you this morning and saying, open your life. If there's a draw in you today towards the heart of God, then your promise this morning is you're going to encounter grace himself. And when you encounter that, whatever it is will be changed from the inside out, and you will walk away a free man or woman. That's what grace does. He doesn't demand anything of Zacchaeus. Isn't it interesting? Look what happens. You know, this is where people, you know, when they bang on about balance, you know, I suppose that in one way we all want the same thing. We want to live right, don't we? We want to see people living right. We want to see people living free. I think it's how we get there is the difference. That's why I love Romans 2:4. It says God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Jesus doesn't force himself, bully, coerce, or guilt Zacchaeus. He confronts the greatest brokenness in you and me. And what does he give you? Unmerited favor and grace. That's what he does. Whatever your brokenness is today, right? Wherever it is in your life or the people around you, can I just say, whatever it is, your answer is grace and grace alone. Because there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can bring. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing, no way you can perform. You can't raise your hands in worship to it or give enough money for it. You can't serve enough for it or get on your knees every morning of the week and read enough Bible for it. Because when Jesus looks at you, he says there's nothing that you will do other than just put yourself in a place of receiving my grace for you. Let's start from there. And you know what I love about Zacchaeus? If you're kind of going, that's, well, you know, as people say, you know, that's fine, but right, you need more. Let me tell you something. Is it interesting Jesus picked Zacchaeus? Because what was his issue? Money. I love this one. Money was his issue. You're thinking, what's the big deal? Well, most Christians today struggle over the whole area of money and provision and future. It has a grip on us like nothing else. More than position, I believe, more than power. People say money, sex, and power. I think it's mostly money, because at the root of money is everything about provision and safety, security, trust, and everything else. And Jesus picks a guy whose issue is money and says, let me go to the real root of it and let me show the crowd, whatever you may think, the crowd stands and watches this incredible transformation. So the encouragement for you this morning is this, is grace goes further in your life and in the lives of the people that you know than anything else will do. The law demands from us what you can't provide, but grace changes us so deeply. It brings a freedom that nothing else ever will, despite what things promise. Because the law, you know what happened in Zacchaeus' life? The law never demanded that he would give back half of what he owed and fourfold to the people he ripped off. There was no legal demand for that. Isn't that incredible? So if you're trying to get good with God today, or you're trying to live right with God, let me tell you something. One moment of grace will break the bondage, break the power of it, and will set you free to live more holy and more generous and more free than the law ever will do. Because this one moment of grace in Zacchaeus' life freed the very thing that was binding him, the very thing that was holding him. It set him free from that, and he lived way freer than the demands of the law would ever have done. Do you get that? Isn't that incredible? That's what grace does. The things that are binding us, the things that hold us, the very thing that enslaved him, that he had sold his life out for, he sacrificed his reputation, his family, and his friends for, was the very thing that God releases us from in an instant, but sets him free to experience more life as a result. Think about that today. Think about the people around you today. And what are they given? People are given their whole selves for meaning, purpose, significance, acceptance, love, value, whatever. You know, whatever, how we live, or whatever we're giving ourselves to, right? It actually one moment of grace. You go, all your effort and all the rest of it, and all the law and performance and all that kind of stuff, one moment of grace will set you free to experience more freedom and more life in that moment than a lifetime of law will ever do. And that's why we want to see lives transformed by grace. Put your friends or family into the place of Zacchaeus this morning. If you want to ground the word, let the Lord show you, okay? If you want faith to rise in you this morning for those people that you know and that you love, what would they look like in the story of Zacchaeus? How different would their lives be in an instant with a moment of his grace, releasing them from the bondage, from the hurt, from the history, from the past? What would it look like in 1 second? Think about those people. That's what I started to do this week. Actually, when I was preparing this, I thought to myself, you know, here's Zacchaeus who in a moment is transformed, not because, you know, he'd had a judgment and condemnation to last him a lifetime, but in one moment of just Jesus loving on him, showing him, you know, just absolutely, you know, he didn't deserve it. Of course he wasn't. He's banged to rights guilty. But in that one moment, Jesus just comes to him and goes, what you do is separate from who you are. I'm going to love who you are. And that set him free. Who are the people that you're thinking about right now? Who are they? Because that's why we preach grace. Because I can tell you now, and you might have prayed for them for a lifetime. You might have spoken to them 1,000 times. But I believe that this church is here so that they find a place where there is unmerited love and favor for them, where there is goodness and grace for them. And we trust that when we bring those things to Jesus, bring those people to Jesus, that in that moment they will have something in their heart released and changed, just like that, that will never happen through a lifetime of anything else. He'll go deeper, he'll go further. He'll get to the root of things that none of us can ever do because he loves people and he wants them to be free. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we're back in this room, in this church this morning, to preach a message of God's grace. Because I don't know about you, when I look at it, I don't see anything else. Do you? I don't know what you've tried. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what. But whenever I look at the simple things, you know the simple things about the Word of God are the most profound and the most challenging. That's why I said simultaneously, very difficult and easy to hear because we've heard it all before. you know, but to go, I want to live in that, and I want my people to live in that, my friends, my tribe, whatever, to live in that, is totally different, right? And so I want you, I hope you're encouraged this morning, and I'm going to finish. Because whatever it is this morning, I'm praying grace over you. If you've come here this morning and you need, just in a moment as we start to worship again, something to go, Lord, in this moment, I need you to break that chain, lift that bondage, bring that encouragement, then Lord, that's what you need to do. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do it. But also, if you've been struggling with people around you and thinking, Lord, how is it ever going to happen for them? Then do you know what I'm going to encourage you to do this week? Is speak grace to them. Speak grace over them. Speak grace around them. Let your mind start to think and to dwell on what it looks like. You know, the Lord will give you pictures of their life free. Do you know that? That's to build you up in faith. And every day, just speak the goodness and the favor and the mercy of God over them and trust that he's working in their life, because if there's something in there drawing them, and he's going to lead them to an encounter. That's why we do what we do. If not, we could all be at home watching. I don't know who's on at this time. Is Joseph on yet? No. I mean, somebody's on at this. You know what I mean? Joseph's bound to be on. He's always on. You know what I mean? But I know what I want my kids brought up in. I don't know what my friends brought up in. I want is a place where they encounter that same message. In a tired and broken world with brokenness in people, that's why we want to see lives transformed by his grace. Amen, church.